I've just recited a poem, some verses of a poem, that, oh Allah, I have nothing to my name. I have nothing to my name. I only have one thing that I'm presenting to you. I can love you, Allah. And what is it that I present? Is the imitation of your Habib, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have imitated him, O Allah, please bring it into reality and accept it from me. Thus, Ashabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions from Hazrat Bibi Aisha radhiyallahu anha, they asked a question from the mother of the believers that, can you please explain to us and describe to us the akhlaq and the mannerisms of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you were close to her, O mother of the believers. And the sahaba, the blessed companions, are asking this question. Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha, she gave an answer in just a few words. Kana khuluqul al-Qur'an. That our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his akhlaq, his deeds, his conduct was totally the physical Qur'an. The ulama ikram, the scholars, the pious predecessors have written that one is the Qur'an that we read, the physical Qur'an, the book form that we read. And one was the physical Qur'an that was sealed in the life, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the walking, talking, physical Qur'an demonstrated to mankind. And this was his whole life was Qur'an. The Qur'an-i Hakim, the ahkamat, the orders. What do we find within the Qur'an? If you summarize the Qur'an, then you will see five things. Yes? There are five ahkams within the Qur'an that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. One is belief, aqaid, ibadat, worship, mu'asharat, environment, mu'amalat, our own deeds and akhlaq, our own personal conduct and manners and etc. So these five things is deen. I repeat again, aqaid, beliefs, the fundamental points of belief, Allah, wahdahu la sharik, without any partners, believing the kitabs hereafter. These are points of aqeedah, of belief. Ibadat, the second thing that we will acquire from Qur'an, prayer, fasting, hajj, zakah, what is compulsory, etc. Mu'asharat, the environment that we live in, living amongst people, giving, taking, how we should deal with each other, how to take, how to give, what not to do with people, what to do with people. What are the principles of living in the world? What is the ruh, the spirit and the principles of the world? For example, living in the UK or Saudi Arabia or Pakistan, in every day and age, Muslims amongst each other, how they should live, how to live with other people. These are the asools, the principles. We're not making these points up ourselves. Allah Ta'ala is describing unto us, this is mu'asharat, the third point that we attain from the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala has described everything point by point. Allah has given the hukum, orders, aqaid, belief, ibadat, worship, and three, mu'asharat, living in society. Fourth is mu'amalat, that our own personal life, running a business, haram, halal, lawful, unlawful, taking a loan, giving back a loan, debt, paying back the debt, etc. All the points of life that relate to us as individuals, taking a house on rent, taking a shop on rent, or a car on lease, or somebody, you've taken something, or you've got to give something back to somebody, or how to sit with people, talk to them, discussions, negotiations, living daily in the life. This is mu'amalat. This is the fourth thing that we learn from Qur'an. And after that is more important. More important. The fifth point. And that thing is that Allah Ta'ala says that this is the juz, the totality of Islam, and that is akhlaqiyat, which is our personal mannerism, the way that we conduct ourselves with other people. And akhlaq is the biggest out of everything. Out of everything. Inside, outside, internally, batini, externally, shouldn't lie, shouldn't backbite, shouldn't fraud, shouldn't slander, shouldn't deceive someone, shouldn't beat somebody, shouldn't murder somebody, don't overwhelm somebody, whichever religion he is, background he is, be peaceful, be humble, with love present yourself, do not look down on other people's, other faiths, places of worship. Don't break them. Don't destroy them. Don't oppose the disbelievers physically and criticize them, etc. No. Present Islam in an ahsan tariqah, with excellence. Don't force people to Islam. Don't bring them to Islam through the whip, through the rope. Don't give pain to people. Don't disturb people to this extent that whoever is your neighbor around you, all your neighbors, doesn't matter what faith they follow, never disturb them in their sleep, never give them mental anxiety. Not you go to their door 11 p.m. and you start disturbing them because you want something and you start arguing with them. No, with severance, Islam tells us to restrain ourselves from these things. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, he had a lot of, in his area there were rats at one time. And somebody said to him, Hazrat, Sheikh, there are rats in the area around the house. And why don't you keep a cat? So the cat can control them and they'll run away. MashaAllah, these are the people who had akhlaq. Who had good conduct and manners. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi replied that, yes, I could keep the cat and the rats will scarp him. Where will these rats go? Where will the rats disappear to? My neighborhood, there's a Jew. He lives nearby to me. And it's apparent that if I get the cat and the rats run away and get scared, then they'll run off to his house. And I can't do this zulm on him. I will persevere with my pain, but I won't transfer the pain to the neighbor. SubhanAllah. Look at it. This example. And this is one part of deen that we do, salah. And we think salah is the be-all and end-all of Islam. Now let's just take these five things in your life. Then your deen is total. You got salah, no akhlaq. You got akhlaq, no mu'asharat. You don't know how to live in society. You've got mu'asharat, but you don't know how to do business and acquire yourself. There's problems or gaps or defects in your aqidah, your belief. So if you take all of these things, that's Islam. If you just take all one of them, that's not Islam. Allah says, these are the five things we have to take. But there's a hukam. Allah says, do ibadah, worship. How shall I worship? Pray salah like this at this time, face this way, someone's face is the other way. Quran gives hukam, like today. There's different type of people in the world. And everyone says that, you know, I know the Quran. And I'm following the Quran of the guidance. Just hold off the Quran, that's it. There's no other deen. How have we been deviated today? That this is very important, this point that we are going to learn today, inshallah. If you just take hold of the Quran, say, Quran is Quran and that's it. I'm not going to follow anything else. Then how are you going to implement Islam practically? Allah Ta'ala said, if you were to just follow the Quran, then He would have sent down the Quran in book form. Just go and read this and practice it. But this is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the methodology. Allah says, yes, Quran is the framework. It's giving us the framework, the skeleton. And Allah Ta'ala said, if I wanted to, then I would have given you the Quran in such a way that you did not need a teacher physically to come and demonstrate to you how to practice the Quran. But I said, I can see all the rules in the Quran. If someone grabs hold of the Quran today, says, I read the Quran, I practice the Quran is everything, this is the Kitab of Allah, this is Wahi, there's nothing else we have to go to, you don't have to read anything else. And he says to you, why are you going against the Quran? And I won't speak about that group because then there'll be fitna and I don't want to criticize people. But there is this disease today in society. There are people who are believers and who say that Quran is enough for us. This is enough, this text. There's no hadith. There's no hadith in the Quran. There's no hadith how to do wudu. Just wash your hands. Allah Ta'ala didn't say to us, wash hands. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. And Allah Ta'ala says, don't go towards fahisha. So what does this mean in the Quran when Allah says, don't go towards fahisha? They say, no, just Quran is enough. The pages of the Quran are enough and we'll take the guidance from this. No, Quran has given hukam, order. And on top of this, Allah says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَتَى اللَّهِ أَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَتَى اللَّهِ. Allah said, the person who obeys my Rasul, then he has obeyed me. First condition, he has to obey the Rasul. Look at great status Allah Ta'ala has given to his Nabi. So, these five things, when Allah Ta'ala gives this hukam, after giving this hukam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these five ahkams in the Quran, then Allah Ta'ala sent his final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said, despite the fact that the Quran has the whole sketch and framework of the deen, but to understand it and to practice the Quran, you have to look at the physical example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want, that's why Aisha radiallahu anha said, if you want to see akhlaq, muasharat, ibadat, aqaid, belief, akhlaq, conduct, manners, not from Quran, where do you learn them from physically? From the physical being of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at his physical practice and life, then you will get the sahih ibadah, the sahih life. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulullahi uswatul husna. Allah Ta'ala said everything, the whole Quran that we read, Allah Ta'ala has encapsulated it and sealed it in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole tariqah, where has Allah Ta'ala demonstrated it physically? In the physical sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is why the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is azim and is the greatest. So if you practice the sunnah, Alhamdulillah. If you take the sunnah out, then your deen is very dangerous. Your deen will be the deen of nafs and shaitan, and there will be very, very difficult task for a person to save himself from Jahannam. If we want to go to paradise, if we want to please Allah, Allah said the purpose and objective for which you have been sent into this world and which will be about asked about on the day of judgment, Allah will say, where's my raza? Where's my pleasure? Where's my nearness? This is why I sent you to this world. Why did the Quran come? Why did the prophets come? Why is the last prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did he come and teach us all the things? No Nabi came for himself. Every Nabi came to teach us this is Allah and this is how to please Allah. They hint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, everything that will come to my pleasure, that will take you to my pleasure, to my qurb, to my nearness, to my marifat, you have to learn that from the physical practice. Of who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, "Fattabi'uni yuhibbukumullah." If you imitate my Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will reach close to me. Say Subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. The pious predecessor say that the deen of Islam is so simple for us today, the Muslims. Yani, if I give you an example, if you desire somebody, you want to get close to somebody, or you want to get a product or an item, it's not easy. You have a Mercedes in your dreams. You want to have a Mercedes. You'll try hard. You'll work hard. Save up the pounds and the pennies. You'll research and look online. What one shall I get? Which car shall I get? You'll work hard. If you want to marry a certain person, you will send a message to that opposite person. That, can you take my rishta, my message of taking that person in marriage to that person? And you'll try. So Allah Ta'ala says, I am the greatest. Allah Kareem is the controller of the universe. And Allah Ta'ala says, love me in the Quran. So who is there in this world who can reach to Allah Ta'ala's love? Tell me, show me that formula. There's one thing to attain something in the world. You have to serve and sell products, hundreds of them, thousands, to make money. So you can eat to attain Allah's nearness, Allah's qurb, Allah's love. And then Allah says to us in the Quran, you are my beloved. What a great title Allah Ta'ala has given us. What a big target for each and every one of us sitting here. What a great destination Allah Ta'ala has given us. And Allah sealed it in one thing. If you imitate my Habib, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then only will you attain my nearness. Aha. What a great formula. But shaitan has attacked us today. Nafs has attacked us today. They've cut off the path of the sunnah. Do 10,000 hajj, 10,000 umrah, read 10,000 Quran. But they will never tell us to follow the sunnah. Allah says, this is so easy. The deen of Islam, so easy. There's only one thing Islam summarized in one sentence, is to imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said, you'll attain my nearness. No, only will you not just attain my nearness, but yuhibbukumullah. On top of that, Allah says, I'll start to love you. This is the announcement of the Quran. Look at the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The great status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His sunnah, the greatness of his sunnah, his fazilat, his blessings, the whole Quran from Alif Lam Mim to Surah Nas. The total Quran, every page, every verse is praising Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every page is praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every tafsir is praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that person who goes into the Quran in depth, he says, every verse I can see the status of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why not? He is Mahbub-e Rabbul Alameen. He is the beloved of Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Allahu Akbar. That poem I recited in the beginning, that tashreeh, the commentary of that poem, is what? That I, Allah, I have come to you on the day of judgment. All I did in my life was imitate your Nabi. I practiced and experienced his sunnah. This was what a beautiful tactic that this person who presented his deeds on the day of judgment. For example, I'll give you another example. If you want to get somebody to do something for you, in English we have different examples. If you want to love somebody, then love his child. For example, you start loving his child and helping his child and feeding his child, then the parent will start to love you because you're helping the child. The parent loves the child. You want that parent to do something for you. You'll bring gifts to the child. You'll help the child. You'll be affectionate for the child. The parent will say, what do you want me to do for you? I'll do it straight away for you. Do you need any help? So tell me, in the day, that's all we do. We seek influence in the world. We look for people's weak points to influence them. What's the biggest weak point of a person? The biggest weak point is that when a person loves something or someone in the world, if you start loving that thing or that person, then that person will love you. Allah Ta'ala is this. It says that, look at the same method. If we take hold of a tactic, Allah, you've announced that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is your Mahbub. There's no Nabi after him. There's no greater human being more than him, than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, he's my Mahbub, my beloved. That's it. Take hold of the shortcut. Take hold of the formula. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest. He is the Mahbub. He is Rahmatul Alameen, the mercy to the universe. Allah Ta'ala announced that he's my Mahbub. that he's my beloved. The greatest Nabi, the greatest Prophet, the greatest human being who came to earth. And the Ashikeen, we, the so-called Muslims, say, eat, drink, be merry, pass the days, and when we die, Allah will forgive us. Impossible. The people who understood the path, they said, look, forget everything else, just do nakal. Even if you're not genuine, even if you're not sincere, even if you're a fake Muslim, but if you imitate the Prophet Muhammad physically, Allah will love that. Let's leave all the other actions, and Allah will love you. At that time, at that time, for example, you have a child or a relative, and when you see, for example, a person sees the image of his child or relative, then he starts to love that person more, because he's, the memories come back, are rekindled in the brain. Memories come back, fondest memories. So when we start to imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have nothing. Even if we do follow the sunnah, we are still worthless. Our ibadah, Allah ta'ala, is nothing, is broken. We have nothing to our name. But Allah, we try to imitate your Nabi, and with that we will come to the day of judgment. This is the law, that Allah ta'ala loves his Nabi, then Allah will love that person who follows his Nabi. 100%. So should we not follow the sunnah? Ask the question. You should promise to Allah that, Allah, I'm going to follow the sunnah. Why are we scared? And the first thing that shaitan did, he attacked the Muslim's brain and said, why are you practicing sunnah? No, don't do this. Not necessary. And the shaitan says this, and your nafs says this. No, you don't need to follow sunnah. Not important. Follow the Quran physically, literally. No, brothers, the person who wants the destination, be he a weak Muslim, but subhanallah, hold on to the hand of Rasulullah, grab hold of it firmly. Doesn't matter what happens, what anyone says, I will imitate him to the maximum. And this is called the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha told us, that if you want to learn ibadah, come to me. If you want to learn muashirat, how to live in society, come to me. If you want to learn how to do your physical deeds, come to me. If you want to learn manners, come to me. If you want to learn salah, come to me. If you want to learn Quran, come to me. If you want to learn hajj, come to me. And I will tell you about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other path. There's only one path to reach Allah. And what is that path? Imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every second of the life. There's no other path of Islam. That's it. Two events. Now I'll explain to you about the sunnah. MashaAllah, there's a little bit of time left, so I'll speak quickly so we can start. If I explain something, will you practice? Say inshallah. Otherwise, I don't sit here to give speeches. I like to share things with you, discuss with you, so we can share our feelings and thoughts. Because when we talk, when you listen, you should increase your passion. So make an intention while sitting here. After you hear, what will you do? Say it loudly. You shouldn't sit there sleeping. Say loudly, I will practice on the what I hear. Sunnah. Okay. So first thing, the blessed Sahaba Ikram, the blessed companions. The companions, I give you one example. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was Khalifa. He was Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the Muslims. And he sent out a group of his Sahaba to a certain area, because there was a confrontation with enemies. And they went, and there was a battle, and there was a confrontation, and there was a struggle. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, with his one place, the group of the companions, they got stuck. 1 month, one week, 2 weeks. So when they got a bit frustrated, the Amir of these group, you understand what I'm saying? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. So the Amir of this group of the Sahaba said, so then he wrote to the Amir, to Chief Minister, Haz Amir al-Mu'mineen, Haz Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, mashallah, he wrote to him. And I think Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar was the Amir. And he said, Hazrat, that we are trying to overcome these people. We're using all the tactics and force, etc., and struggle. But we've got stuck in one place. It's been a whole month. We can't advance, nor are we going backwards. We're not winning. We're not overcoming them. There's no positive advancement. Please advise. Hazrat Umar was Farooq. MashaAllah, great personality. He's not even there. He's far away. And he thought, and he wrote back. He said, there's no issue here. In reality, what I can see and feel is that you have not fulfilled a certain sunnah. You have rejected a certain sunnah, or you've neglected a certain sunnah. Amazing. Now, if we can't win in the world, we'll think, oh, what shall I do? Who shall I speak to? Or what money shall I use? What resources shall I use? Is this not the case at home? We see that there's problems, there's no peace. How will I do Islah? I will try to make peace, then I'll get to someone, give me ta'weez, Mawlana Sahab. There's problems in my house. What du'as shall I read, Mawlana Sahab? Or I'll go to someone and do black magic and pay him. Servants of Allah. Look at the sinking of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. That which sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have we neglected, that we cannot advance in our objective. So if definitely there's an issue in your life, that there's a struggle, an obstacle, then definitely the reason for this is that there is the displeasure of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to which we're not benefiting and advancing and winning in our life in the world. So Hazrat Umar Farooq, the great Farooq, and he was far from that struggle. He was physically far from his Sahaba, but he had yaqeen, and he wrote with yaqeen certainty that there's a certain sunnah you are neglecting. So the message was reached, it arrived to the Amir. He said, Amirul Mu'mineen has written to us, and he said that there's a certain sunnah all of us are neglecting. Let's think for a few hours, what should we do? So they did mashwara. All the Sahaba ikram, the group of the Sahaba, they thought, they said, what we realize after a mashwara is that the miswak, the blessed tooth stick, the sunnah of the tooth stick, that all of us in the last few weeks, we have stopped using it properly, we are not fulfilling the sunnah, this must be the reason why we are not advancing. So they came back to the Amir and said, Hazrat, look at this today, we have no importance of miswak today. The big sunnahs, we don't even think they're important. Forget that miswak, and this is today's Muslim. I'm not giving a taqareeb. I'm not giving a lecture. I'm trying to explain what love have we got for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imitation love. Imitation belief. Imitation affection. This is not the case, brothers. This is a unique thing, a unique situation in the Muslim world today. This is a fraud and a cheat and a lie. Who are we trying to fraud? Who are we trying to lie? We are trying to lie and cheat Allah, who is Khabir and Basir. We say that we are believers, and yet we refute and reject and laugh at the sunnah. We look down at it, and every generation that continues like this. Allah Ta'ala says, there's no distance, no age, no years. The ashik, the lover, in every place in the world, he's a lover. In every place, in every abode, in every area, in every locality. For example, you fly for 8 hours and get to another country, and then Islam changes. When you go to another country in another part of the world, Islam changes. Allah Ta'ala says, my Quran changes, does it? No. Allah Ta'ala says that this is a person who's half a partridge, half a quail, who changes his deen according to the climate and the society and the country. No. Allah Ta'ala says Islam is the same every country, every corner, east, west, north, south of the world. And the Sahaba, and the same way as today, would go with the message of the Quran. My uncle, he passed away some days back, and do dua for him. He was very beloved to me. He came to me, mashallah. He was Sayyid. And he passed away 2 days ago. And whenever there's a death, then ask one question to my sister, to my relatives. How did he pass away? How did he die? I have fikr. Then after that, I have afsos. And I said, first, how did he die? In which state did he die? When I got the message that he died, straight away I asked that, please tell me the correct account, that what was his condition at the time of death. They said that when he died and the final breaths were there, then on his tongue, he was saying Darood Sharif regularly and consistently. Subhanallah. So that is the ashik, the lover. This world, the hereafter, qabr, graveyard, they cannot wipe away from his tongue what he loves. And we, when we die, we love our shop. We'll say money, dollars. When they ask us in the grave, man rabbukum, man rasulukum, man deenukum, we'll say shop, money, pounds. And these are the answers we'll give in the grave. What we see in the morning when we wake up, brothers, straighten your life, make one life, one objective in your life, one love in the day, in the night, in your shop, in your business, the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you imitate him solidly, then in the grave you will say Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man rasulukum, and you'll say Muhammad Rasulullah. We are asked in this world who is our Rasul, even then we reject the deen. Astaghfirullah. Hadha min dhalik, his image will be shown to us in the grave. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are the levels and the phases of ishq. There are many hadith on this. We could commentate on this for hours. And they will be asked, and my sheikh said that the tafsir of this hadith is that in the grave he will be shown to you, and rather maybe he'll physically be shown to you. And Washik Hazrat Mulana Shirali Thanvi, alhamdulillah, I can't remember his name, he said, I am hopeful that when I'm in the grave, the Rasulullah will come to my janazah. This is the maqam, the station of ishq of the Prophet Muhammad. All the hadith, sahih, authentic, give us this hint. So why are we wasting our life following and running after materialistic things, brothers? Temporary things. Why do we love the rocks and the money and the material thing of the world and meat and houses and assets? Is this what we should love? Love something that is worthy of loving, brothers. That will give you the fragrance of love in your heart and your body and hereafter. So what was the event I was saying? Going back to the Sahaba, they did mashwara, they consulted, they went back to the Amir. Not, oh, we don't have technology, we don't have more resources, we need more transport and horses. They said, give us ijazah, permission, Amir, we need to do miswak. And then here comes the hint of the sunnah. The sunnah is miswak, the different trees that you can get the miswak from. So you say, is this the case? The neem tree, they all went to the tree, to the branches, they climbed up and they cut down the branches, then they chopped them down, cut them away, took off the leaves and made miswak and they brushed their teeth. And the enemies are looking from afar. What are these sahaba doing? What is this tactic they're doing? They're practicing, they're physically getting ready for us. And what they're doing, the thing that they're rubbing on their teeth, that they're going to sharpen their teeth and they're going to come. And they're going to beat us, they're going to fight us, they're going to eat our flesh with their teeth. They're getting ready for dinner time. So they got afraid and somehow the sunnah overwhelmed them and they scarpered from that locality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the sahaba. Subhanallah. Promise after today, will you do miswak? Never leave the miswak after today. Say inshallah. And this is one sunnah. And this isn't just sunnah before doing salah, before wudu. This is the live sunnah. When you go in the house, miswak. Leave the house, miswak. Before eating, miswak. After eating, miswak. Before you meet your wife, miswak. Before reading Quran, miswak. After reading Quran, miswak. Before salah, miswak. After salah, miswak. Every moment, miswak. When Rasulullah departed from the world, he gave the request to Aisha Sadiqa, can you moisten my miswak? And she said, I'm so proud. In the last moments when Rasulullah departed from the world, that my saliva met with his saliva. Subhanallah. And that Aisha, who is criticized today, astaghfirullah, that home today who criticize her, can you sit with them? Can you eat with them? Can you speak with them? Is it permissible? That insan, Rasulullah, who is the beloved of Allah, and she was the beloved of Rasulullah, and there's people today who criticize her, astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive. How can they say they're friends of Allah? And how can we be friends with them? Oh, difference doesn't make any difference if they criticize Sahaba because they've got iman. How can they be? How can this be the situation? That Aisha, radiallahu anha, who was in the room of Rasulullah, she said, I'm so proud that at the time of his death that I moistened his miswak and my saliva met his saliva. Such a great personality. And today Muslims are so crazy and mad, they criticize her, the mother of the believers. So Hazrat Aisha Sadiq, she did miswak in the final moments. She moistened it and then she gave it to Rasulullah and he put it in his mouth. Even at the time of death, this is such a big subject, we could speak on miswak for the whole night and still we wouldn't finish the subject of miswak. How to hold it, how to brush it, how to clean it, how to store it, etc. Now let me go to the second event. So that was one event. Yes, sunnah. The important, this was the sahaba who followed, revived the sunnah and Allah gave them the victory. Let's say, oh, make the excuse, oh, they were sahaba, they were like angels, they were special, and they were close to Allah, today's too hard. We have to use toothpaste and the toothbrush today. Forget the miswak. Okay, use that, but still use the miswak. So don't criticize sunnah today just because we are far from that generation. The person who has the love in his heart of the Prophet Muhammad and his sunnah, even in this day and age, in this year, his maqam will be great. In the previous years, a great pious predecessor, the Ashikin, and the Tabi'in, Tabi'in, and after them, the generations that came, they are examples of great people in every generation. There was a pious predecessor, Sheikh, the Sheikh of his time, who was called Mujaddad al-Afthani, Rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Irabani, Mujaddad al-Afthani, no other wali in the 1400 years since the Prophet Muhammad was given the title, Mujaddad al-Afthani. There are Mujaddads in every generation, but he was Mujaddad al-Afthani, the Mujaddad after 1000 years, and every single group of scholars accepts consensus that he was Mujaddad al-Afthani, and he was from Sarhand Sharif in India, and he lived about 400 or 500 years ago. At the time of the Mughal dynasty. And mashallah, may we do his ziyarat, because he is attached to our silsila. He is one of the great sheikhs of the Khanqah of the Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi chain of sheikhs. So mashallah, at his time he was great knowledge, great ilm, great manifa, great sheikh. And another sheikh of his time came to him, to his company. And after he got to his company, he asked a question. The Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, I can ask you a question. And he gave the answer. And in the answer, even the other person was a great sheikh, but Allah Ta'ala wanted to demonstrate the greatness of Mujaddad al-Afthani. So when he asked the question, one sheikh, then he had kashf, as a Mujaddad al-Afthani had inspiration suddenly at that time, and he gave the answer. And then that sheikh did a kashf, and he said that on the name of Allah, suddenly I get so close. He gets so close to Allah. And when he started to feel the closeness to Allah, and he's sitting in Sarhand with Mujaddad al-Afthani, so there's two sheikhs here, and that sheikh, he saw ilham, and he had karamat. Allah Ta'ala gave him a miracle at that time, because it happens with some sheikhs, with some walis, Allah Ta'ala gives them vision, inspiration, and karamat. Not for showing off to the world. Allah Ta'ala demonstrates karamat when the public has to be pulled towards the deen. At that time, the Muslims were very weak, were going towards kufr. So Allah Ta'ala gave the karamat to the sheikh at that time. Not to show off their proud example, but to bring Muslims to the deen. So when he had wajad, to the name of Allah, and his whole body from head to toe started to do the dhikr of Allah. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Rufani was sitting there watching him, looking at him, and this is the event in the kitab that I'm telling you. So when he started to feel strong about the deen inside his heart, then Hazrat Mujaddad al-Rufani said, bring the miswak from my room. Mujaddad al-Rufani said to his student, go to my room and bring the miswak to me. Look at the status of the sunnah and how it calms down the believer when he does miswak. So that shaykh, he is overwhelmed with the presence and the company of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Rufani. Karamat had come onto him. He was doing dhikr of Allah. His heart was doing dhikr of Allah. His body was doing dhikr of Allah. He was sweating. He was anxious. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Rufani, he said to his student, bring my miswak. So when the miswak, he came and put the miswak on the ground, and suddenly that shaykh, the teacher, he came into his senses and the karamat finished, and then he was calm. And Hazrat Mujaddad al-Rufani said, look, you were shaking, you were overwhelmed, and you made the earth shake. You thought that this was a miracle and your special effect. Fine. But Allah Ta'ala gave me the karamat. If I raise my hands and do dua, Allah will give me the power to ask for many things. All the deceased people would stand and start talking to you. I've got this karamat as well, but I don't need to ask Allah for this. That your karamat is physical magic in the world, and my karamat could be to bring the disease to life. But forget all of this, because none of these things can equate to the power of the sunnah. Say subhanallah, brothers, because the sunnah is the greatest miracle in this world from the beginning of time to the end of time. Tell me, brothers, this sunnah, you think that the sunnah is nothing? You can show the karamat of the world, but this sunnah, one sunnah of the miswak, it crushed the miracle that you were trying to show me. So brothers, understand the point I'm trying to make is that karamat today, so-called people who say they are pious and they show miracles, forget the miracles. Allah Ta'ala says, that doesn't elevate your rank as a Muslim. That doesn't take you close to Allah Ta'ala as a Muslim. Allah Ta'ala's sunnah that Allah Ta'ala has given and that He has demonstrated physically, your rank, your status of your iman goes up in level so close to Allah. So sunnah is the greatest miracle over and above every other miracle. Brothers, to conclude, sunnah is the greatest action. Think of the sunnah as the greatest gift of Allah, that if in your night time that you sleep on your right side with your hand underneath your face, consider that you've got the greatest treasure in the world. Greatest treasure in the world. Let me give you another sunnah in the morning. Small maybe, but I can tell you the light that will come in your life. When you get up, read the two sunnah for Fajr in your house, not in the masjid. For example, tahajjud, pray, you should do dhikr. Youth people, mashallah, Sufi people, close to Allah, you get up for tahajjud, read tahajjud. Then do, when the azan for Fajr time starts, the time starts, read your two sunnah for Fajr at home. Then lie down like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lie down on his mat. So do this for 2-3 minutes. After you read your two sunnah, lie down on the right side with your hands underneath your face. Then see the beautiful effects of that in your life. Will you do this, inshallah? Say inshallah. Subhanallah. So what do you do first? Get up in the morning, do wudu, Fajr time starts, read the two sunnah for Fajr, then 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes, lie down on your right side on the prayer mat, on the right side, put your hands underneath your face, and all the tiredness of your night will disappear. Will disappear. And great enjoyment, and people see dreams at that time, beautiful dreams, and some people see the dream of who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because you're following his sunnah. So these are things that we have done or learnt. Take hold of one path in your life, brother. Sunnate Rasulullah, no other path is there. So inshallah, miswak is the great sunnah. Bring this into your life, put the miswak in your pocket. And not just that, this is also, mashallah, great, great tool that Allah Ta'ala has given. A great tool. I'll give you another karamat, magic of the sunnah. Another miracle of sunnah. With whichever niyyah you do sunnah, that is what you will get in the world. If you need a job, it's hard to get the job, interviews are being rejected, you put the miswak in your pocket, Allah, I'm going to this interview, due to the barakah of this mark, Allah, please make this job easy for me to get, inshallah, the job offer letter will come to your house. Any issues you've got in the world, do miswak. You've got problems, there's an obstacle in front of you, employment, business, transaction, you're running here, Baisab help me, Baisab help me. Forget asking Baisab. Take hold of the sunnah, for the sake of that sunnah, miswak, Allah say, Allah give me success. Who will give success? Allah gives success. Allah gives success. No one else gives success. Who gives success? Allah. Who gives health? Allah. Who gives rizq? Allah. Who gives wealth? Allah. Everything comes from Allah. But only if you take hold of the sunnah of Rasulullah, then direct help will come from Allah. But we run towards dunya, asking people, forget that, foolish people. It's so easy. Allah says, why are you running left, right, up, down, sweating? Just imitate my Nabi and I'll give to you. So many sunnahs in the world. Allah says your whole life if you follow sunnah, then imagine there'll be nothing A to Z that you will not get. There's nothing morning to night, night to morning. I can't get the flight ticket. I wanted to go to Pakistan. It's urgent. Take hold of one sunnah, go online, try to get the ticket. Allah will give you the ticket. Even car parking. It used to be hard for me. I used to go to town centre, Manchester, and I used to follow the sunnah. The car park was full. I was going round and round. Christmas time, I couldn't get a bay. I used to get late. But going to business late is my habit. I come easy. I come early to salah, but I go late to work. And this was the habit of my life. Always I used to go late for work. In the morning, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they used to give me notices. Why do you open late? Allah said, forget your notice. I said, Allah will give me the shop. Allah will give me the business. Soon as I used to go late to the car park, I used to say, Allah, for the sake of Allah, for this sunnah, Allah give me the car park bay. Allah would give me the car park bay. So will you do this job, brothers? Whose practice would you follow? The sunnah. And who will give to us? Allah will give to us. Let's start dhikr, recite Durood Sharif.